Thank you, Elder Peter Yu. We have been on this journey of going through a series called Love God and Love Others. In a moment, we're going to recite, memorize the memory verse of the series together. But the reason we are doing this is Jesus Christ declares to you all that the purpose of life, meaning of life, is justice. Love God, and then love others. Love God and love others. So here's the memory verse up on the screen. I'm going to go first, and then we get to recite that together. I'd like to recommend that you start with the reference and the passage and end with the reference. Matthew 22, verses 37 to 39. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." Matthew 22, verses 37 to 39. Ready? Let's do it together. Matthew 22, 37, 39. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." Matthew 22, 37, 39. This past week, we had our house church at our home. So house church is the gathering of a smaller community, and we gather together on weeknight. We share a meal sometimes, and we pray together, and we read the scriptures together, and we do life together. See that logo on the wall, doing life together? That is the slogan for house church, okay? And after the dinner, we sat in my backyard, and we had a campfire going, and we began roasting s'mores. And as we got into the conversations, there were a couple of the members who are in medical field, and somehow we got to be talking about, you know, at the end of life, as we observe in the medical fields, because, you know, we deal with people suffering, sick. I have never heard anyone who said, as they were dying, "Oh, I wish I worked more." I have never heard anyone saying, "Oh, I wish I were more. I was more successful." No one says such things, but instead, they all hear the following statement. You know what that is? "I wish I spent more time with my family. I wish I spent more time with so-and-so." So here, look. Let's make it real. One day I'm going to die. One day you're going to die. And should we have the luxury of saying the last words? Not everyone gets to do that. What would you say as you breathe your last? What would you say? I guarantee you, you will never say, "Oh, I wish I made more money. Oh, I wish I was more successful." No, you know what you're going to say? I guarantee, I promise you. Here's what you're going to say. Here's what I'm going to say. "Johanna, Joshua, I wish I loved you better as a father." I'm going to say, "Mom, Dad, I wish I loved you better as your son." I'm going to say to my wife, "Honey, I wish I loved you better as your husband." I promise you, you will say the same thing. Now, you know why? Why is that? Why is love so important? In fact, wouldn't you agree? If you ask everyone in your life, I think most will say, you know, what's most important in life is that we love each other. That's it. At the heart, at the center of life, creation, universe, at the very center of it, it's about love. L-O-V-E. Now, the problem with love is we love to say love so often, and in so many different contexts, we have lost the true meaning of love. I mean, like, how many of you love ice cream?
Amen.
How many of you love the NFL? Yeah, one, two, okay, three. See? Oh, I love that restaurant. Oh, I love this show. But today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I pray that we get to receive the true meaning of love, as in from God. I pray that we get to hear the Holy Spirit saying, love is at the heart of your life, the most important thing in your life, because it is from God Himself. May I invite you, may I encourage you to use the sermon notes, sermon outline. You will see the QR code behind me up on the screen, but also in front of you, and you know what to do with it. So let me offer a prayer. Holy Spirit, I need you. I've wrestled with this sermon preparation immensely, and all the more reason I must depend on you. Reveal the glory of Jesus, reveal the glory of the Father, and reveal the glory of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. I am anticipating there will be a good number of questions during the Q&A session. So please submit your questions to the number that you see behind me. And I ask that you wait until the conclusion of the message. Let's go to the text. The Word of God comes to us from John chapter 15, starting at verse 9. Hear the word of the Lord. Jesus Christ speaking. As, and that's a key word here, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other, there's the key word again, as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends. If you do what I command, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Would you read verse 17 with me? This is my command. Love each other. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you write these words in your sermon outline? As, the key word, a key word, as Jesus loves you in his community, so we love each other in our community. Two parts: something Christ does for you, to you, with you, which is he invites you and me into his love, into his loving community. And when we receive that grace, when you are transformed by the love of Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the love of the Holy Spirit, in that community, you'll be so transformed that you will do something, which is that you love each other in our, we love each other in our community. It's always grace first. Jesus Christ does something for you, for us, to us, in this grace, a gift. And whenever we receive his gift, we get to dispense the gift. So we receive his love in his community so that we may love each other in our community. Two parts. So therefore, let's get to the first part. Number one, remain in Jesus' love because the Trinity is the source of all love in community. Okay, kind of mouthful. Let me repeat that. Remain in Jesus' love because the Trinity is the source of all love in community. Look at verse 9 and 10 again. As the Father has loved me, this is Jesus saying, so have I loved you. As the Father has. He's not talking about, oh, I love ice cream. He's not talking about, oh, I love the NFL. He's not even talking about, oh, I love my wife. He's talking about, as the Father has loved me. And that's the kind of love he's talking about. That's the kind of love that we all need. That's the kind of love that shapes our life. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. We have received it from Jesus Christ, who received it from the Father, and now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. The doctrine of the Trinity is a difficult one, isn't it? How many of you have heard in the past, oh yeah, that strange teaching from the Bible, the Trinity? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. How many of you failed in the past? You know, that teaching, that truth, that doctrine, it's confusing, and I don't know what the relevancy is today. How many of you felt that? It was confusing, and then I believe it's true, but so what? What difference does it make? I've felt that way. It was confusing, not clear, many of my sermons. At the same time, does it have any relevancy today? Well, I am praying that you will change your mind today. At the core of Jesus' claims is that he is God, that he is from God the Father. And not only that, not only is he fully human and fully God, he also sends the Holy Spirit, who is also God. Look at John 10, verse 30. I and the Father are one. John 17, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. And Jesus kept saying things like this, I forgive your sins. And the hearers, the Jews, they were about to pick up the stones and kill him because that was blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. Jesus says, that's right. When he rose from the dead and the disciples worshiped him, Jewish men who only believe that there's only one God, and people said, we should only worship God alone. Jesus said, that's right. And he just received the worship. He just took it. So he claimed to be God. Now, here is the doctrine. And I'm going to borrow from our ancient creed, one of the most important creeds in the Christian church. It's called the Athanasian Creed. This creed was formulated because the early Christians, they were wrestling with who Jesus is. And they realized, discovered from the Bible with the help of the Holy Spirit, that Jesus is both God and human, equal with God the Father. And then out of that formulation and wrestling, the church also declared that the Holy Spirit is also God. So here is, I don't know how better to put it. Listen, here's the creed. Now this is the true faith, that we worship one God in Trinity and the Trinity in unity, neither blending their persons nor dividing their essence. Heavy stuff. Listen, the Trinity in unity, not blending the three persons nor dividing their essence. Continue on. For the person of the Father is a distinct person. The person of the Son is another. and that of the Holy Spirit still another. But the divinity of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit is one. Their glory equal, their majesty co-eternal. Thus, the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God. Yet there are not three gods, but there is but one God. You are a Christian if you believe in the Trinity. If you don't believe in the Trinity, you are not a Christian. It's as that simple. It's as that important as that. Okay? So again, let me summarize. How many gods?
One.
How many persons? Three. In one Godhead, three distinct persons. God the Father is God. God the Son is God. God the Holy Spirit is God. And yet there is only one God, but in three distinct persons. The reason you need community, the reason you need relationship, the reason you need love, without which you cannot survive, is, what's the answer? Because you are created in the image of God who lives in community. I'm going to say more about this. But for now, the reason we cannot survive outside of relationship, outside of love, outside of community is we were made in the image of God, and God lives in community. And that's why. That's why. Before I move on to the second point, I just need you to just slow it down and make it personal. Say under your breath, I need community because I was made in the image of God who lives in community. And if you don't have this at the core, the most fundamental community with Jesus Christ and God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, then all forms of your love in your life will be somehow tainted and incomplete. Number two, we love each other in community by becoming other-centered. Now we're going to get to what is God like more here, okay? You love each other. We love each other in our community by becoming other-centered. I need volunteers. Someone's raising. Okay, you know what? Nico, come here. Peter, come here. I need three. Kobe, come here. I need three. Come up here. Stand right next to me. Come on. So when I said I need a volunteer, here's Dad raising his son's arm. Okay, so here. Listen, okay? Shh. We love each other in our community by becoming what? Other-centered. So, God the Father. God the Son. God the Holy Spirit. Kobe, do me a favor. Just stand up straight. Face them, okay? And stop talking. Peter is a U, their last name, Y-O-O, U. Nico is a U. Kobe is a U. There's only one U family. Am I right? And yet, within the U family, there's Peter, and there's Nico, and there's Kobe. Three distinct persons in one you family. That makes sense? This is a better, not the complete best, but this analogy of the Trinity is better than, you know, God is like water. Ice, water, vapor. It doesn't do justice because God in different forms, it doesn't explain that they are unique, distinct persons. You've heard, oh, God is like a tree. You know, the root, the trunk, and the leaves. Again, it doesn't do justice to the fact, to the truth, that there's each distinct persons. Now, here's the thing. Now, here's what I need you to do. Form a circle and then hold hands. Form a circle. There we go. Perfect. Okay. Watch this. Okay. The Trinity, God Himself, all three persons are other-centered. The Holy Spirit is always deferring to the Son and to the Father. And the Son is always deferring to the Holy Spirit and the Father. And the Father is always deferring to the Son and the Holy Spirit. So no one is saying, me, 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 me. Everyone is saying, you, you, you. They each say, what did I, oh. I just got it. Each person saying, you, 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 which is you. Focus. So each person in the Trinity is taking delight in the other persons. I take joy in you, Father. I take joy in you, Son. I take joy and delight in you, Holy Spirit. They're always, always deferring. They're all other-centered. No one is saying, me, 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 but everyone is saying, you, you, you. This is going somewhere. And everyone is serving the other. No one says, serve me. No, it's like, I love to serve you. I take delight in you. I take joy in you. I love you. So that is how the triune God loves, serves, defers within that Godhead. Okay? Let's give them a... Thank you, you family. So therefore, the way we love each other in our community is by becoming other-centered. We abide in Jesus Christ. We receive His love, and therefore we love just as they love each other, so we too love each other. So here, next slide. Therefore, loving each other is becoming like God. Let me repeat that. It's so simple, so plain, and yet it's so profound. When you love others, you are becoming like God. When you defer to someone else, when you serve that person in your community, you are becoming just like God. Why is it so hard? Like, you know, in your house church, in your small group, in your community, however you define it, there are people that are easy to love. You know why? Because that person is always other-centered. Don't call out their names. At the same time, why is it that there are some people in your community hard to love? You know what I'm talking about? Don't call out their names, and if you don't know who they are, you might be that person. And that's because they are not other-centered. They're always talking about themselves. They're always talking about their needs. And yet, when you receive Jesus' love from His community, the love of God, then we are and we will be able to overcome and love others as He has loved us. And that's what exactly Jesus says to me. Victor, you are hard to love. Nonetheless, I love you. When I receive that grace, I can dispense it. I can give it away. Okay? Creation account. God creates the heavens and the earth and everything on the face of the earth. And then he said, let there be light, and there was light, and it was good. Let there be stars in the sky, and there were stars, and God said it was good. And at the very end, he creates Adam. And he says, it is not good for the man to be alone. Remember that? Yeah? Why? Why was it not good for the man to be alone? Do you know? Because we were made in the image of God, and Adam was alone. He was not in community with somebody else. And that's why it wasn't good for Adam to be alone. He was made in the image of God to love others. That's it. He needed someone to love. Okay? See, look. Let me sidetrack just for 2 minutes. When I was wrestling with faith in my late teen years and early 20s, I doubted the Bible. I doubted everything I heard. And it was a good time, people. When you doubt and your faith becomes stronger, that's a good thing. In fact, I encourage you to question your faith. I encourage you to doubt, is this true? Is Jesus for real? Probe, investigate, doubt, so that your faith may be refined in the fire. So one of the things that I wrestled with was, is Jesus for real? How can he be God? Okay? And then I stumbled upon this Trinity, and here's what happened. This idea that there is one God, but there are three persons. I have heard people say, see, it's so illogical. It doesn't make sense. It is contradictory, many people have said, and therefore you can't trust the Bible. And I thought about that. I said, I came to a different conclusion. If I were going to make things up, if I fabricated this Jesus thing, okay, can you imagine me coming up with this idea? There is one God, three persons. Would I even say it, knowing that no one would say, that is stupid. That's contradictory. That doesn't make sense. Or, furthermore, why would anyone say it? It's so out there. Listen, here's how this helped me. I recognize this. If there is a God, the Creator, and if created everything in the universe, then he must be beyond the creation. That makes sense? Okay? He cannot be recognized as a creature in creation because he created it all. He's got to be beyond and above all that. You follow? Okay? So I said, you know, it kind of makes sense that this God is the triune God. Nothing like in creation. Who would conjure this up? Who would imagine such things unless this were true? So it actually helped my faith. This, it's not contradictory. 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. That's a contradiction. But 1 person + 1 person + 1 is a triune God. That's not a contradiction. Hard to fathom. Hard to comprehend, but that's not a contradiction. 1 + 1 person + 1 person + 1 = a communal, a triune God. That is logical. So let's move on. Again, we love each other by becoming other-centered. One of the key words in the passage is what? As. So therefore, love is spelled A-S. Love, not just love however you feel like it. Love just as Jesus Christ loved you. Who says, love others just as my Father has loved me. Love them, love your community, love each other just as I have loved you. And how has Jesus loved us? Other-centered. He focused on you. He focused on me. Greater love is when there is no greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Jesus, the extent of his love for you is that he laid down his life for you. And therefore, love is not self-centered. Love is other-centered. Love is not self-centered. Love is other-centered. And this is why the love in our world oftentimes self-centered, isn't it? I will love you as long as fill in the blank. I will love you as long as it's beneficial to me. I will love you as long as I remain being in love with you. It's about self-centered. But Jesus' love, which we have received, is other-centered. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. Say self-seeking. Love is not self-seeking. Instead, it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Because love is not self-seeking. Okay? Now, let me give you another passage. This blew my mind away. 1 John chapter 4. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Okay, right? Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. So again, Jesus is talking about the love that God has for us and the love that God has for in his triune community. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. If you don't love God, if you don't love others the way he loves you, you are not born again. Whoever does not, verse 8, whoever does not love does not know God. Listen to that. Do you know God? You may say, I do. But he says, if you do not love the way God has loved you, you don't know God. Because God is love. Now, that was my discovery. Love is love from God. Say yes. But then the Holy Spirit says, God is love. It's not just an attribute of God. It's his nature. Love is what God is. It's more than what he does. It is, love is who God is. I don't know how else to explain it. And therefore, let's continue on. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. This is love. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us. And his love is made complete in us. So we love each other in our community by becoming other-centered. Next slide, please. Therefore, can you say y'all? Say it. Y'all. It's the, in English, second-person pronoun plural. Okay? Those of you who speak German or French, there is a second person pronoun, singular and plural. Different, right? In French too? No? I don't know French. But in German, that's true, yeah?
Yeah.
But in English, we don't have that. And when Jesus says, love each other, he's not saying you as an individual. He's saying, y'all love each other. Y'all take joy in each other. Y'all delight in each other. Y'all. Very, very important. We, in the North American context, we think of everything so privatized and individualized. It's me, I, mine. But it's just saying, it's communal love. Y'all love each other. Okay? So third, last point. And therefore, we love each other in our community by rejoicing and praying. By rejoicing and praying. Jesus says, verse 11, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. What is the fruit? If you abide in me, in my love, and if you keep my commands, you will bear much fruit. What is the fruit? My understanding of the fruit is the love itself. The fruit of receiving Jesus' love from his community and loving others in our community. And the fruit is that we become like God, and the fruit is love itself. Joy in Greek is, let's put this slide, say chara. That's joy, okay? It means joy, gladness, a source of joy. Okay. All right? Now, next slide. Grace, God's gift, in Greek is charis. Say charis. Do you sound the similarities? Charis, kara, and that's because kara, joy, comes from the same root as the word charis, grace. So therefore, the etymological link between joy and grace is this. Joy is grace recognized. You experience joy when you recognize Jesus' grace in you. So when you experience Jesus has graced me, let me prepare. Jesus has graced us. And we recognize his gift in us, that he loved us, the unlovable, that he died for us who are unworthy. And when that grace drops in your soul, as it were, then there is joy, overwhelming, welling up within you. You all, we experience joy. That's it. So when you, in your community, you take delight in somebody else. It's not about you. It's about the other person. You defer. I delight in you. I rejoice in you, period. Not because you do something, no. In you, you are made in the image of God. You represent. When I see you, I see the image of God. And therefore, I simply delight in you. I rejoice in you. I affirm you. How can I serve you? I would love to do that. That's joy. That's joy. Jesus says, ask anything in my name and it'll be done. Do you like that promise? Yes, you do. So do I. But it is in this context. That promise is in the context of when you love one another in your community together collectively, and when you pray for that person, that community, the well-being of your community, that's when Jesus says, anything you ask in my name, it will be done. He's not saying, ask anything for yourself and it'll be given. He's saying in the context of loving others. Lord, I pray that I love that person in my life and I feel so impatient. Would you make me patient? He says, done. That's the kind of promise he's promising. Okay? So therefore, let's bring it down, start descending. You can't love in isolation. You can only love in community. And at Mosaic House Church, the Holy Spirit has made it very clear. He wants us to love in community called house church. House church. We live out this conviction and this grace and this joy in a house church context. We do life together and we rejoice in each other's presence and we pray for one another. So here's a clip of Abraham's experience in his house church. Take a look, and you will hear him keep repeating the phrase, hey, house church is sweet. Let's find out why.
I was thinking, man, house church is so sweet. And I mean that in the sense of, I think of everyone who's in my house church. And we go there and we meet up. And it's not just about reading the Bible. It's not just about being there. We go there and we're spending time together. We're investing in one another. We get the chance to hear about what's going on in each other's lives. And that fellowship is so sweet. It's so meaningful. Just to give you a little bit of a snapshot of our house church, so we have 30, people who are aged between 30s to 40s, marrieds and singles, and it's diverse. It's like a microcosm of Mosaic House. We have Filipino, we have Indian, we have Africans, we have Chinese, Japanese, and Koreans. So many different kinds of people. Oh, sorry, guys. We don't have that.
That's why you guys gotta join us!
But anyways, I love it because they all have such different talents and gifts. And there's some people who are very generous, people who are hospitable, and there's people who are just willing to invest their time and efforts into supporting each other. And for my family, we really felt that in different ways. So for example, we felt that when Hikari had Mariko and Ayumi, people would give us food. And even when we're ill, people will provide us with food and things like that. But on top of that, I would say going back to even something so recent as the pandemic, like it was during those times where I really felt that people really wanted to meet up. And I was reflecting with Hikari about how during the pandemic, our house church was really consistent in getting together. Whether it was eventually in person or on Zoom, but you could feel the sense that people really wanted to be together. And I think that really struck us as we reflected on that. And that was a big support, I think, for all of us to be able to consistently be there when everything was shutting down. People didn't want to be close. Right? And I think also with our house church, we have a sense of openness, both in the larger group, but also when we're together one-on-one, we're able to struggle through issues and talk about the deeper things, and that's really been a support for us as well. I think the last thing I want to share was, I think in terms of how we've been equipped to follow Jesus, I think for us, I think oftentimes when we go to house church, like we're so tired. you've just gone through a whole day of work and you're exhausted. But like I said in the beginning, house church is sweet. It's so sweet. You go there and then when you're there, either you're having a meal or you're talking, but that time together is so strong. You are engaging together with prayer. You're spending time discussing about the things that you're struggling with, things that are going on in your life. And you're hearing from others as well what they're going through. And you're there to support one another. And in all of that, you learn to give up of yourself not to just think about, oh, how am I going to benefit from this, but how can I serve other people? How can I be there for other people as well? So I think in that way, we've really felt support, but we've also been equipped to help other people to be there for them. That's what I'm sharing for today.
Did you hear him say, my house church is sweet? I did. And you know why he finds it sweet? Because they are other-centered. They don't ask, what am I going to get out of this? But rather, how may I be a blessing unto others? How may I encourage them? How may I pray for them? How may I? It's they're becoming like God. Because they're living out the love in the triune God. Other-centered. So just quick three applications. Crawl, walk, or run. Crawl. But those of you who are not in a house church, go for a test drive. Test drive a community of house church. You're not marrying it, you're just dating it. And I always say to the first-time guests in my house church, test drive other house churches, please. Okay. Number two. Walk. Invite a friend. Those of you who are in a house church, invite a friend. You know why? Because as you live out this triune love in that community, guess what? You are becoming like God. And they need the love of the triune God. And lastly, run. Cultivate a rhythm of rejoicing and praying for each other. You need to cultivate it. It doesn't come naturally or automatically. You need to be intentional. Hey, I got to find someone to say, I delight in you. Simply because you. I want to serve you. Would you give me the honor of serving you so that I may become more like Jesus? I may become like God. So cultivate a rhythm of rejoicing and praying. Let's pray. I want to invite the praise team to the front. Let's pray. Friends, I just want to give you a space here, a time, a moment for you. Would you answer this question? What is the Holy Spirit giving you today? Is he giving you a promise to claim about joy and grace? Is he calling you to identify a sin for you to confess how self-centered you have been? Or is the Holy Spirit giving you a challenge to accept in terms of crawling, walking, and running? Let's just take a moment. Receive that from the Holy Spirit, my friends. And for those of you who have never committed yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ, you have never verbally, volitionally received his grace, maybe today is the day. Would you say in your heart, Lord Jesus, I want your love. Lord Jesus, I need your grace. Lord Jesus, I need to be loved by you so that I can be made complete and whole. If you say that prayer, would you talk to someone today? Talk to me. Talk to others. Say, hey, I said that prayer. What do I do now? So, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the same love that we have received from you, the same love, that love we give to others. To your glory. Amen.